chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are studying on Wednesday nights about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit in music. I think maybe some people heard some things they had never heard before. And I think that that was important for us. And I'll just recap to tell you this. In the scriptures, scriptural music, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, that verse comes right after, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart in your Lord. One of the obvious results of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life is the proper kind of music, which would tell me that the wrong kind of music is an obvious result of not the Holy Spirit in somebody's kind of life. I took the Old Testament and showed you where there are several places in the Old Testament where it said they prophesied on the harp. The prophets that came out to meet Saul right after Samuel had anointed him king, they came out of the mountain, and it says they came out of the mountain with harps and pipes and cymbals, and instruments prophesying. What were they doing? They were singing. And we always think of prophesying as preaching, whether it's forthtelling or foretelling. That was usually the definition you would get back in Bible college days for me. The prophets of old would foretell the future. Prophets of current time forthtell. Okay? We tell forth the word of God. They foretold things. But prophesying by definition just means to speak under divine inspiration to give the word. Okay, so it can be done in preaching, and it can be done in song, and it can be done with an instrument, okay, to be moved by divine inspiration to do that. So music needs to be spiritual. Now tonight, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and gifts, talents, and abilities. Gifts, talents, and abilities. Jason, I feel like I'm just a little loud here. I don't know which one it is, but I'm feeling like I need to whisper because it's too loud, and it's not my nature to whisper. So if you turn me down, I'll speak up. And we'll get right back to the same level. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Well, I'm glad we started off the chapter with my topic. Wouldn't that be a great thing? So the whole topic of chapter 12 is spiritual gifts. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which ye think to be less honorable, Upon these ye bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then healing, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, I'm going to dissect this chapter for you, because the whole chapter, as is said in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not understand it. So I'm going to talk to you about spiritual gifts. First of all, let me define for you gifts, talents, and abilities. Talents. Now let me read you something I wrote, and then let me give it to you in simple English. Talents. A person, regardless of his belief in God or in Christ, is given a natural talent as a result of a combination of genetics. Some have natural abilities in music, arts, mathematics, and surroundings. Growing up in a musical family, of course, or something like that would help to develop that. Or because God desired to endow certain individuals with certain talents. A talent is something God gives you at birth. It could be a physical talent. It could be a mental talent or ability. But every person that was born in this world has some talent. God's given you some kind of talent in some area. Gifts, let me read you what I wrote and then I'll define it. Spiritual gifts are given to all believers by the Holy Spirit. At the time they were placed there, at the time they placed their faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. At that moment, the Holy Spirit gives to the new believer spiritual gifts he desires all believers to have. Now, so when you were born physically, you were given talent of some kind. Mental, physical, you were given some kind of talents. When you were born again, you were given by the Holy Spirit spiritual gifts. Or gift. Gift or gifts, plural. I believe really it's gifts, plural. You were given those by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about abilities for a minute. Ability. These are things that you're able to do that you're not necessarily talented in or gifted in. Maybe through desire, determination, or through practice, you have learned to do something and it becomes an ability of yours. You weren't necessarily talented. You weren't born with that. You weren't given that at salvation. You just developed some ability in that area. Now, let me say this. People that are talented quite often don't utilize the talents God gave them. People that are gifted quite often don't utilize the gifts that God gave them. And here comes along some guy like me, who's not really talented in this area, not really gifted in this area, but he'll work to develop the ability to do it. Okay? When we're going to drive a nail in the wall, we have a hammer that was built for that purpose. It was either, you could either call it talent or gifted. When the hammer was brought into existence or born again, either way, it was made to drive a nail. But if you're a hammer laying in a drawer and you won't drive a nail, and I'm a screwdriver with a big handle, I can drive a nail. Now, I'm not made to drive a nail, but I have the ability. How many of you have ever used a screwdriver to drive a nail? Okay? Yep, a lot of people. How many of you have ever used a shoe to drive a nail? Okay? Was a shoe designed to drive a nail? Is it talented to drive a nail? No. Don't use a high heel, ladies, by the way. Don't use a high heel. Is it gifted to drive a nail? No. But you used it because the best ability is availability. And the shoe was available to the hand of the one that needed to drive a nail. And so when God's looking to drive a nail, listen, he's given some people talent to drive the nail, but they're not available. They're not yielded. He's given some people a gift to drive a nail, but they're not available. They're not talented. They're not yielded. So he'll grab some old shoe like you or me and drive a nail with it. Now, it beats up the shoe a bit, and it beats up the wall a bit. The job doesn't get done as perfectly, but I got news for you. We can hang a picture. We can hang a picture. We're not talented, but guess what? The talented ones don't hang the picture quite often. We may not be gifted for that, but the gifted ones don't always hang the picture. Ability outranks, in my book, talent or gifts any day of the week. But just think about this. If you could take the God-given talent you were gave when you were given when you were born into this world and make it available to God, what could he do? Now, I've shingled roofs bigger than this roof on this building with work crews. And I got news for you. I wouldn't want to do it with a shoe. Okay? Wouldn't want to do it with a shoe. I've framed out buildings as big as this or bigger. I wouldn't want to do it with a shoe. Not only do I want a hammer, I want a very special hammer. I want a particular hammer, one designed exactly for what I'm doing in that particular job. I bet I own, I don't know, is my wife not in here? Okay, I can say it. I bet I own, well, I don't know. I probably own 30, maybe 40 hammers of different kinds. Okay? Depending upon what I need to do, I got a different kind of hammer. I own rubber hammers. I own sledgehammers. I own claw hammers. I own ball peen hammers. I own body hammers for body work, which I never plan to do, by the way. I own air nailer hammers. I own a little hammer, air nailer that you don't have any room, that I can put the nail in and it goes and drives the nail in when you only have that much space. I own, and you know what? They all have a particular, they were created for a special purpose. And when I have to do that job and I have that hammer available, man, does it go well, right? So the secret to all of this is all introduction, by the way. The secret to all this, I want you to get this. All of my life, I told Micah this earlier, all of my life, look, I took classes in college about the spirit-controlled temperaments. Figure out what temperament you are. You're a sanguine. You're a melancholy. Not a collie. Melancholy, okay? Not like Lassie. You're this. You're that. I had pastors that handed out these big surveys and taught people to go through and try to figure out what your spiritual gift is. Can I tell you something? Fluey. It's all fluey. You know why? Because all the pastors I knew that were into all that, the two guys that were pastors of mine at one time that were into all that, aren't even in the ministry today, don't even go to church most of the time. But they figured out what their spiritual gift was. Highly overrated. What's my spiritual gift? I have no idea. I really don't. You could try to assign it, but I don't have any time for it. I'll tell you why. Because if I'm not talented in that area, so maybe I have a talent for that, great. Maybe I have a gift for that. Great. If I don't have a talent or a gift and it needs done and there's nobody to do it and I think God wants me to do it, I'll learn how to do it and develop the ability to do it. So it doesn't matter whether I'm doing it out of talent, whether I'm doing it out of gift, or whether I'm doing it out of ability. No matter which way, guess what? I'm doing it. I'm going to get it done. Okay? I'm going to get it done. And to me, all these folks that sit around and figure out their gift, they find an excuse not to do all these other things. Because this is my gift. I have this one gift, and that's all I'm going to do. We had a secretary one time at the Christian school in Pennsylvania. I was the assistant pastor at the time. The pastor's name, I won't tell you the pastor's name, but there was a different pastor there. And that we had a church secretary, I think at that time was my mother, and we had this lady, and she was a school secretary. And my mother had already left for the day, and the pastor came in. This lady had folded up everything on her desk, and it was sitting there, you know, waiting for 15 minutes to go by so she could go home. And the pastor came in and said to her, "Hey, Mrs. Grimaldi's already gone. Could you make these copies for me?" And she said, "No. It's not my area. It's not for the school. That's the church secretary's job. Put it on her desk. And she can do it tomorrow. It's not my area." I was standing there, and I just looked at him. And I thought, all right, I want to step a little closer because this is about to get good. I want to know how he's going to handle it. And he said, "Your area is whatever I tell you your area is. Make the copies." went over there huffing and puffing and made those copies. By the way, when the schooler ended, she didn't have a job anymore. Okay? Can't work with people like that. See, when you figure out what your talent is sometimes, or you figure out what your gift is, you think that exempts you from doing anything outside of it. And it's become a big excuse. People in the spirit-controlled temperament. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? Spirit-controlled temperament book written by Tim LaHaye. Anybody ever read it? Don't. Okay. Good. Only two people. And that shows you the problems they have. It's my son and daughter-in-law, okay? It's my son and my daughter-in-law. I would never, never, never attack one of you like that. Only family. Only blood. Oh, and Levi. Well, I would have attacked Levi, too. Yes, that's true. But he's almost family. He's almost family. Listen. Listen. When we studied that in school, we had all these kids. You know, all these girls are in this class. Oh, see, after studying and reading this, I'm melancholy. That's just why I am the way I am. That's my personality type. It gave them an excuse to be the way they were. See? And I looked at the whole book. I passed the test, got an A+ in the class, learned it, studied it, gave you the information you wanted, and then I took the book and stuck it on a shelf, and I've never looked at it again because I read it all and said it's a bunch of hooey. Because I can see there's some days where I'm melancholy. There's some days where I'm sanguine. There's some days where all of those things, I'm part of all of those things, and I won't allow myself to be buttonholed and use it as an excuse. This is just the way I am. Do you ever think about that? This is just the way I am. Well, what if you're just a jerk? That's just the way I am. Why don't you decide not to be? Decide to change who you are. You know, right after I got right with God, I had guys in school try to get me to smoke marijuana. I said, why do I want to do that? I said, oh, man, it really enhances your personality. And I said, but you're already a jerk. So if you smoke that, you're a bigger jerk. I don't need my personality enhanced. Okay? I'm just trying to get you to understand something here. You got to get to understand that it's not about analyzing and figuring out what your talent is. Look, you go about life's journey and you figure out what God wants you to do and you try to work at it and get good at it and put yourself into it. And if you have a talent to it, you'll be real good at it. If you were gifted after you got saved to do that, you'll be really good at it. And if you weren't talented enough or you weren't gifted to do it, you'll figure out a way to get her done. Take off a shoe, drive the nail, hang the pictures, okay? I don't know how these pictures are hanging on the wall. I didn't hang them. I know they come down and go up. Oh, they just changed them, as a matter of fact. I just noticed that, okay? They changed them for February, okay? I love my church for February, Valentine's Day, okay? I don't take them on and off the wall. I don't know. Is there a nail back there? Is there a hook? Is there Velcro? Is there one of these new zippity-doo-dah, sticky-tacky things? I don't know. I don't care. The bottom line for me is they're on the wall. When they're not on the wall, then I have a problem. Well, Pastor, we couldn't hang them on the wall because we didn't have the exact right things. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. I don't care what you need. Hang them on the wall. If you have to pull your nails out and stick a toenail in there and hang it on it, hang them on the wall. When I show up on Sunday, I don't want to see a blank spot. One of them's blank because we didn't have enough hooks. We didn't have enough hangers. You find something hanging on the wall. Okay, I don't care what you have to find. Go back and steal something out of another room. Hang it on the wall. Okay? I'm just trying to get you to understand by way of introduction that people get so fruity on this subject of gifts and talents. And all of my life, since I've been a kid, it has frustrated me. So for me to teach about gifts and talents and abilities is a hard thing because of the way I've seen it frustrate me. Look, I went to college. I was in a youth group of 23 kids, talented musicians and singers, smart people, and most of them don't even go to church today. They're doing nothing with the gifts and talents God's given them. I went to college with guys that could preach like the next Billy Sunday. They could organize, they could sing, they could play instruments, and most of them are out of church or liberal today. But they were gifted. And by the way, I knew a guy. We all had to do 1 year in the bus ministry when we were in college. You had to do at least 1 year in it. And this guy was a really good singer. And he said, well, I'm not going to go in the bus ministry because yelling on the bus will hurt my voice and it'll ruin my talent. And I know the guy's name, and he went out in the ministry for a couple years, and guess what happened? He flopped on his face, and he's out of church. I think he's divorced from his wife, doesn't go to church, doesn't have anything to do with God because he was trying to protect his gift, his one gift he had. Smack him in the head with a songbook. You know why? Listen, I'm not gifted or talented. I don't have a talent or a gift for music. I don't. But I have some ability. You know why I have ability? Because I worked at it. I made it happen. I can lead a song. By the way, I know music enough to break it down for you. I can teach you music because I made myself study it to learn it so that I could do it. Because if I have to do it, if I'm the only person there, I'm going to do it. I can make it happen. All I'm saying is all these people I've seen in my life that were so much had so much talent, so much ability, and yet they quit serving God. And here I am today, still standing before you, and when people say, "What is your spiritual gift?" I don't know. Ask the Holy Spirit. If it's a spiritual gift, ask Him. Because all I know is I'm talented enough and gifted enough and able enough to do whatever God puts in front of me. And if He puts in front of me, I'm going to get it done, no matter what it is. So, all that being said, can you tell I'm a little aggravated about this? I'm sorry, it's Bible study night and I've been preaching. Look at the first couple verses there. I want you to see something. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I keep wanting to quote 1 Thessalonians. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, so every time I get to that phrase, I want to change it. So I apologize for that, but every time I get there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, notice past tense, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Notice that phrase there, important, even as you were led. Led's the key word. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I want you to get. Number one, understand that the Holy Spirit leads you toward Jesus and not away from Him. So follow those who the Holy Spirit has filled as leaders to bring you closer to Him and not away from Him. You'll notice that they were led to serve false idols. So they had been following the wrong leaders at some point. They weren't following leaders filled by the Holy Spirit. And He defines for them, how do you know that, okay? Anybody that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So what He's saying to them is, these people that set themselves as spiritual leaders for you, are they drawing you closer to the Lord or closer to idols? Closer to God or further away? Closer to things of the world or closer to things of the Lord? Which way? Which way? So you got to understand what He's explaining to them is not to be ignorant about this. Well, this guy's a really good speaker. I'll follow him anywhere. Yeah, you'll follow him straight to hell. Okay? I heard a guy say to me one time, I won't name the preacher. He's a famous preacher. He's in heaven now. Famous preacher in heaven now who got very liberal. And when he got very, very liberal and way off base in things, I said to this guy who had gone to an independent Baptist college, why in the world are you following him? He said, oh man, he's such a gifted speaker and a gifted orator. He said, if he's the devil, I'm going to follow him all the way to hell. That's what he said to me. Can I tell you something? You don't follow anybody unless they are following Christ. When there's a leader in front of you, you look past the leader to see who's leading the leader. Who's leading the leader? That's what he says here. You want to see that the Holy Spirit's leading the leader. So when the leader's there, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, here's Paul. Paul said, look past me. If Jesus is in front of me and I'm following Jesus, then follow me. If you look past me and Jesus isn't there, but Jesus is over there, don't follow me anymore. Okay? And that's the key. So he didn't want them to be ignorant. He wanted them to understand that the Holy Spirit always leads them toward Himself or toward Jesus, and the right kind of leaders do that as well. Look at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. I want you to understand there are different gifts, but the Holy Spirit that gives them is the same. He gives them to people, and they're the same. So it doesn't matter if you're the hammer in the drawer or the wrench in the drawer or the screwdriver in the drawer. The master carpenter has made them all. And He's made them all for a special purpose. So you don't have to look back and say, oh, I wish I could sing like that one, or I wish I could preach like that one, or I wish I could do this. I wish I had this gift. I wish I had that gift. No. Don't do that. Don't do that. You got to understand something. We're going to read it later. The body of Christ doesn't work if we're all the eye. Every time I think that, I think of a horror picture. One big eyeball. Okay? You can't all be the eye. And he said, and I know it's later in my notes, but I'm never going to get that far. Trust me. We're on halfway through page one, and there's like six pages here. Listen, he said the hidden parts deserve the greater honor. The parts that are seen get the honor. You know what gets the most honor on your body? Your head. Okay? Your head. It's the thing that's most seen. Your face. Your eyes. Your face. But you know what? Most of the trouble you have physically doesn't come from your face. It comes from those hidden parts, like your intestines. Right? Your colon. Those hidden parts. When you were young, you were always worried about your face. When you get old, you're worried about your colon. Am I telling the truth? It's the hidden parts. The hidden parts. Do you know what? You can't see your liver. You can't see your liver. But I got news for you. You get a scratch on your face, you'll be okay. If the surgeon just puts a scratch on your liver, you're in trouble. You can get a really bad cut on your hand or something. You know, I'm always cutting myself up. I got cut up the other day here. I was working on putting some shelves at my house, and I was dripping blood on the floor. My wife said, "How'd you get cut?" I don't know. I sort of get into what I'm doing, and I don't really pay attention to what's happening sometimes. I had a pretty good cut there. I know how I did that. My wife, you know those, Levi, you know that watch that they auctioned off here? Those watches? Oh, you got one on. What's the name brand of that watch? Yeah, what he said. Okay. I bought one of those watches, and I had the box, pretty box that it came in. Pretty big yellow box, huh? Nice box, right? Well, I looked at that box, and I said, you know, I have a tool drawer in my office. In my office, I have a little tool drawer. Now, I have all kinds of tools in my garage and in my barn. But I wanted to break it in half and make two little boxes to throw odds and ends, screws and little things in there so that I don't have to run down to the garage when I'm working upstairs. It's a bunch of flights of stairs. I got to go down to the first floor, down to the next floor, down to the garage. So I got a few screws. I thought I'll make two little boxes put in the back of that drawer, so I got to break it apart. That thing had a really good, well-designed hinge. It's got plastic, it's got metal, it's really fancy. And my wife was trying to take it apart while I was working on something. And I said, "You got that apart yet?" "No." I said, "Give me that thing." And it just cut me. And I was bleeding like crazy. And she said, "Yeah, the box got back at you." And I said, "Shut up." She was right. The box got back at me because I wouldn't take the time to go get the right tool. It's amazing what these tools are. You know, this is a pretty good hammer sometimes, too. You know, and it becomes a wrench, it becomes pliers, and I've torn my hands up bad doing that. I'm saying all that to say this. I took a pretty good gash right there. But if that kind of a gash was in one of my hidden parts, I could have died. Okay, there was no thought in my mind I was going to die from that. Okay, my wife was looking for the insurance policy. No, there was no chance. Okay, no chance. I'm saying this. I'm saying you've got to understand that sometimes gifts that some people have that are hidden are more important than the gifts that you see. Okay. For instance, mercy is a gift. Some people are very gifted. It's one of the gifts that's listed. And I'm going to get into the three main lists in the Bible of gifts. Mercy, you don't see that. It's not something that's seen real visible. You'll see the preacher, the orator, the pastor, teacher, the exhorter, the exhortation, the exhorter. And you think, oh, but you know what? The hidden gift of mercy, the hidden gift of prayer, the hidden gift of grace, those hidden gifts are much more vital than the ones that are, and the ones that are seen get their praise. It's the other ones that are the important gifts. That's what that says. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. I want you to notice this. The gifts are given to every man. That means everybody has a gift, and the purpose is to profit withal, to benefit everybody else. Your gift was not given for you to benefit from. It was given for other people to benefit from. Okay? So your gift is given, and everybody has one, at least one, and I would argue that everybody has many gifts, and it's given to benefit everybody else. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. That word there is dialectos. It's the Greek word. Sound familiar? A dialect, a language, not an unknown thing. It's a language. To another, the interpretation of tongues or dialects, dialectos. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man. Notice it again. We started in verse 7 with every man. We end in verse 11 of this passage. With every man, severally, as he will. So gifts are given to every man, and gifts are to profit the rest of the body. Look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not many members, but many. I want you to understand this. This is the fifth statement I'm going to make. The gifts should always produce harmony and unity and not division. Gifts and talents should always produce harmony and unity and not division. When you get a group of folks in the church that think they're so gifted that they're above people and it creates division, I get news from you. That is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not a gift of the Holy Spirit, because the gift of the Holy Spirit provides unity and cohesion. Not, look, you know, when the toe wants to run off and, you know, stand on a pedestal to show you how great the toe is, it's not benefiting the body. The toe's got to understand your purpose is to move the whole body. Okay? When you sing and it moves the whole body, you're fulfilling your purpose. When you sing and it blesses the whole body, you're fulfilling your purpose. When you sing so that the whole body can look at you and say, what a wonderful toe you are. I'm trying to put that in your mind so that when you get haughty and proud, just remember, you're just a big old toe. Okay? And at least I picked a decent part for you, okay? You're a big old toe. Okay, big old hairy one. Okay? Okay, understand something. Your purpose, move the body. Move the body. Move the body to be blessed. Move the body to grace. Move the body to listen to the message. Move the body to do something for God. Understand what I'm saying? So gifts and talents should blend us together. Blend us together. By the way, let me stop and say this. When it says in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So many people get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The context of the verse, to baptize means to put something into something, completely surround it, submerge it in it. Like it says that they were baptized in the wilderness. Do you think that verse says that your fathers that were baptized in the wilderness means that they were baptized in the wilderness? No, it means that they were completely surrounded by the wilderness. They were engulfed in it. Okay? They were engulfed in it. You got to understand that verse is saying that the Spirit put us into a body, that we are surrounded by the body. We are part of something bigger than us. We're enveloped by it. We're inside of it, okay? And the Holy Spirit puts us all into that body of Christ, okay? The spiritual body of Christ. That's what that means there. Look at the next phrase. Verse 15. If the foot, here we go, the singers, I'm just kidding. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were the hearing, here comes, you know, where were the smelling? So you got the big eye monster, you got the big ear monster coming at you. But how hath God, verse 18, set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him? And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. I want you to understand this. Here's the sixth statement. No gift is more important than any other gift. No gift is any more important or talent than any other gift, because all of them are necessary to produce a body. They are all necessary. Number 7, We do not all have or need the same spiritual gifts, but rather we need the diversity of gifts. That's exactly what that's telling you. We don't all have and we don't all need the same gift. We need the diversity of gifts. We need the diversity of talents. When you're building a building like this, everybody can't be a carpet layer. Okay? You need some framers. You need some drywallers. You need some electricians. Okay? You need some finished carpenters. You need, you know, all of these things have to come into play. You need some guys to do the dirt work, the excavation people. You need some people to pour the cement. I'm laughing about that because all my life when I go to help one projects to work, because I'm Italian, they think I can lay cement. Joe's here. Hey, can you lay cement? I'm thinking, what's up with that? What's this racial profiling? Do you know something? You want a little piece of history? Study. Look this up. The biggest mass hanging in the United States ever. You know who was hung? Sicilians. 11 of them. Louisiana. 1888. They were accused of plotting to kill the police chief or the mayor. They probably did. The biggest mass hanging, and I'm trying to remember which politician. One of the politicians at that time said that the Sicilian, he said, a famous politician, I'm trying to remember who it was now. It was a famous politician, and he said about that mass hanging of the 11 Sicilians that were hanged, he said they probably deserved it. The Sicilian people are worse than dogs. So understand that I was reading a book about all the racism against Sicilians, my heritage, at one point. And I didn't know that. Makes me a little nervous now. I didn't know they were hanging us. It's like, whoa, yeah. I know, yeah. I'm not going to Mardi Gras, that's for sure. It's dangerous down there. I had a preacher in the South one time look at me and say, what are you? I said, what do you mean? He said, are you an Italian? I said, no, I'm a Sicilian. He said, oh, I thought so. From down south, I thought, whoa, let me get back up north. I'm not very welcome down here, okay? I'm saying all that to get you to one point here, and that is to make you understand something, and that is that you need to understand that no one group is more important than another group. No one group. Throughout this text, he constantly says, whether you're Jew or Gentile, no one group is more important, and no one group is any less important. When it comes to the gifts and talents, we're all part of this one body that has to move forward, the body of Christ. I'm out of time, but let me say this to you. Verses 21 through 26 teach us this. Our diversity of gifts and harmony of action produce the unity needed for the body to move forward. All these different members of my body physically, when they work in harmony, the body becomes healthy and moves forward. My father right now has a little heart arrhythmia thing going on that they're working out. He's tired all the time, and he has some different issues there. And, you know, Dad will be 91 here next month. So there's different issues there and such. But, you know, it's a little out of rhythm. The timing's a little bit off, so the body's not working well. As a young man, I think I was 21, 22, I had a really bad ingrown toenail that they had to cut the whole toenail. It got badly infected. They had to cut the whole toenail out. When the doctor went to put the needle in on the side of the nail, it was so swollen when he stuck it in, it squirted pus out everywhere. That was the worst shot I ever had in my life. And I'm sitting on the table, and he's holding my foot, and he says, this might, old guy, this might hurt a little. And wah! I was holding that metal. And then he got something to wipe up the stuff and went and got another needle and came back. And I said, you're going to do it again. He said, I got to block the nerve on both sides before I cut the nail out. I thought to myself, all I kept thinking was, he's sitting on the side of me. I'm thinking, move to the front. Do you ever watch... Any of you ever work with horses, mules, cows? You know how a cow, a horse, or a mule will try to position the person in the stall working with them so that they can kick them? They will try to move around to position you. Am I telling the truth? Worked on my cousin's farm. You got to be careful. They'll position you. And I kept thinking, I was thinking about, actually it was a pony that kicked me. And I was thinking about that stupid little pony that tricked me, positioned me where he could get me to kick me. And I'm thinking, can I get that doctor in front so that when he pokes me and that foot goes, yeah! See how you like this, doc. Hurt me, hurt you. Hey, listen. That stupid little toenail, wasn't even the toenail, caused this whole body to be in pain. Caused this whole body. Couldn't play basketball with our men's basketball team. Couldn't go out soul winning that week. Couldn't do this, couldn't do that. Because of a toenail. I mean, we're not talking about a kidney stone. We're talking about a toenail. We're not talking about a brain tumor. A toenail. Guess what? Them little parts of the body, when they aren't working right, keep the whole body from moving forward. But the diversity in the body, when it's harmonized, moving forward in rhythm, produces the motion that's necessary to be a success. To be a success. And that's what we need to understand, and that's what we need to utilize. Now, let me just say this to you really fast because I don't want to spend another week on this. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a list that's commonly used for the gifts of the Spirit. Let me read them to you. You have apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, government, and tongues. In Romans chapter 12, which we don't have time to read because we're 4 minutes late already, they give you another list. It's not as long. Ministries, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, we have another list. It's even shorter. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. When you study that, pastor, teacher is one word, one calling, one situation. Do you know the only one that's in all three of the major lists that Bible teachers teach, the only gift that's mentioned in all three? Teacher. Teacher. Can I tell you this? People have sat down and analyzed these gifts, talked about these gifts inside out, upside down, and explained what each one of those gifts mean. I've studied it. I know what it is. I'm not going to teach it to you. Not now, not next week, not ever. And here's why. Because I don't believe that these are the only gifts that the Holy Spirit gives people. I think I can prove that because there's things mentioned throughout the Bible as well as the New Testament that don't have much to do with all these. This is a sample. Okay, I talked about tools tonight. Did I mention every tool that exists? No. There's a lot of tools I didn't mention, right? I was giving you a sample of it. I was giving you an idea of it. Can I tell you that I believe those texts, for instance, if you just read Ephesians chapter 4, you'd say there's only four gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. That's it. If you don't have one of those, you got nothing. Really? Well, wait a minute. Come over here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ministries, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy. Oh, well, then you only got 6. You come to this list, and you got 8, 10, whatever it is. Here's what I'm saying. These are examples. These are examples. And because I don't think it's vital to try to analyze what your gift is, then there's no use in trying to explore what these words are to explain what that gift means. What is the gift of administration? Does it mean you're going to be the church office manager? Okay. I do understand what it means about being organized. And some people have an ability, and again, some people are born with a talent that way. Some people are given a gift that way to organize things. Okay, I think I have a little bit of that, whether it's a talent, a gift, or an ability, I don't know, to organize things. But, you know, is that a talent? I don't know. Is it a gift? I don't know. Is it an ability? I don't know. All I know is this: I can do it when I have to. I can do it when I have to. So are there things that aren't on these lists? Yes. I believe there are. I believe there are. And I think it's not, once again, so important to analyze what they are as it is to put myself in the hands of God and yield myself. I'm going to make a couple more statements and I'm done. Gifts and talents must be developed as well as abilities. And I'll prove it to you. Let me read you one verse here, or a couple verses in 1 Timothy. Notice this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul's writing to Timothy, a young preacher boy, and he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." What's he telling him to do? Tell them to study, right? Comma. Exhortation. Doctrine. And then he says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear me. Isn't this interesting? He tells him not to neglect the gift that was in him. This is a gift that was given to him. And yet he tells him, read, study, learn the doctrine, be consistent, meditate on this. If it's a gift, why does he have to do all this? Wasn't he just blessed with a gift that he should be able to just go do it? No. Even if, here's what it proves. Even if it's a gift God gave you, you have to utilize the gift. You have to develop the gift. Like gold that must be mined. Like a diamond, sometimes it has to go through, like the coal has to go through the pressure and then be cut a special way so that it can produce what it needs to produce. The gift may have been given to you, but it can't be utilized. So can I tell you this? Whether it's a talent, but some people are born with such a natural talent. I can remember a guy named, escape me. He was a first-round draft pick of the Boston Celtics. And the night he got drafted, he was a phenomenal high school player, everything college player, the first pick of the draft for basketball, and I'm not a basketball fan. Lenny Bias, I think, was his name. First round draft pick of the Boston Celtics, and that night he went out and had a party with all of his friends and died of a cocaine overdose. He thought he had it made. He was going to get out of the ghetto and pay for all of his family to have nice houses and take care of everybody. He was so excited. What happened to his talent? He destroyed his talent, right? He destroyed his talent. In Pittsburgh, I used to referee what we called the Bar League down in the parks sometimes. And here's all these guys. And I had guys down there. Man, they were great ball players. But you know what their problem was? Several guys. The one guy was just so good. And I said, man, what happened? He said, well, you know, in high school, I dropped out. I couldn't, you know, stick with the rules and this and that. And tried to get into a college and got a little scholarship and got kicked out of there because of this and that and the other. And he's got a no-end, dead-end life when he could have been playing pro ball. Physical talent God gave him. But what did he do with it? Wasted it. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've met them. You've seen them. We've all met them. People that were gifted by God to do certain things that they're not doing. Can I tell you that you need to understand that your gift and your talent must be utilized? And let me give you the last one. It must be yielded to God. Romans chapter 6 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's playing back on this members of stuff again. Can I tell you this? Do you ever have anybody ever break a bone and have a cast on your arm or your leg? Anybody ever do that? When they took the cast off, your arm, let's say, how many of you have broken an arm? Okay, a couple of you. How many about a leg? Most of you was a leg, okay? When you had a cast on your leg and they took the cast off, your leg was just ready to go, right? No, after 6 weeks of inability, your leg was not yielded to you, right? Until you went through therapy, it wouldn't yield. And since it wouldn't yield, the whole body didn't work right, correct? It could not perform the job it needed to do for the body because it would not yield to the rest of the body. Can I tell you something? All the gifts and all the talents God's given you and even the abilities you've developed on your own are useless unless you yield them to God. When you yield them to God, then they will function to perform what God needs to perform for His body. It's the body of Christ. It's His body. And for that to be performed, you must yield it to God. Sometimes we think, this is my talent, this is my gift, and I'm going to do what I want to do with it. See how that works out for you. You're missing the point. God didn't give it to you for you. He gave it to benefit with all. That means everybody else. And so for it to be a spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit or a God-given talent that you got at birth, it must be yielded, or an ability that God lets you develop. You need to yield it to God so that God can use it. You know, when I was a teenager and got right with God, anything the youth director said or anything the pastor said, Joe, could you do this? Absolutely. Can you do that? Absolutely. When I was an assistant pastor, I came into church on a Wednesday night. We had them big chandeliers, have a big plastic thing like this, big 300-watt bulb in the bottom, and 10 little light bulbs. Okay, and there was 10 of them. The building was longer, and the ceilings were higher than this. And I came in, and this one, this chandelier over here, front one on that side, the plastic shade was off, and the bulbs were all sticking out. And the pastor said, I know some of you are wondering tonight why this, and it looked, I mean, you walked in, it was like, you know, these bright lights. Pastor said, I know some of you are looking at that. And he said, I was trying to change a bulb, and that thing got knocked off, and I couldn't put it back together, and it's all messed up. I don't think anybody can fix that thing. We'll probably have to buy all new chandeliers because we can't replace it. After the service, I walked up. I said, Preacher, you want me to fix that? He said, you know how? I said, no, sir. He said, what makes you think you can fix it? I said, what makes me think I can fix it is it needs to be done. He said, you're welcome to try. While he was shaking hands in the back, I got a ladder. I got the parts in the baptistry changing room that he had destroyed. I found a couple of tools in an office drawer, a couple of pieces of wire, bending wire. I put the ladder up, and when it was all said and done, he came back in, and it was functional. The shade was on, the bulbs were on, and it worked. And he looked at that and looked at me and said, how did you do that? And I said, it needed to be done. But how did you do it? I don't know. It just needed to be done. Since it needed to be done before Sunday, I wanted to make sure it was done. And I did it. We had a bus in Pennsylvania when I was the bus director that had an oil sending unit, a little plastic tube that the oil pressure sending unit. And that little tube, I checked all the vehicles every Sunday morning. And it was full of oil. That little tube popped off somehow. And the whole time they drove, it was squirting oil, squirting oil, squirting oil, squirting oil. The motor seized up because it was out of oil. It seized up. They actually pulled into the parking lot full of children, and it seized up right there. I had never torn a motor apart in my life. I loosened the motor mounts, janked it up, dropped the pan off, loosened the main bearings, pulled it all apart, went and bought new bearings, took a piece of emery cloth, and polished the scratches on the crank, dipped my new little bearings in STP, put them back in there, bolted it all together, and the bus ran for a couple more years. A mechanic in the church said to me, what did you torque those bolts at? And I said, torque? He said, you did use a torque wrench, didn't you? And I said, don't own a torque wrench. He said, how'd you know what to tighten them to? I said, about that much. For less than $60, I put a bus back on the road that ran, and we eventually sold that bus for like $200 to some church a couple years later. We called it Baby Blue. Baby Blue ran for two more years after a guy who had never torn a motor apart. Why? Because I couldn't get anybody to fix it. Church didn't have any money, and I figured whatever locked up is in there. Here are bolts. I will take it. Hey, listen, I can't do any more damage, and it's done, right? It's going to go to the boneyard. And in one day, by the way, I came in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and by lunch I had the bus running. And the preacher said, what'd you do to that bus? And I told him. He said, is that what you're supposed to do? I said, I don't know. I really don't know what you're supposed to do. That's what I did, and it works. Now, I'm better than that now, by the way, just so you know. But I learned by getting out there and doing it because it needed to be done, and I was yielded. We had mechanics in the church, but I couldn't get anything done. Okay? I couldn't get anything done. We didn't have the money to do it. The people that were capable didn't have the time. So guess what? Here I am. I'll do it. Yield it to God. Whatever God wants. Yield yourself. And it's not so important what gift you have, what talent you have, or what ability you have. When you're yielded to God, God can use you. And if you're gifted in that area, wow, will you do great things. If you're talented in that area, wow, will you do great things. But if you're not gifted and you're not talented and you yield and work hard, guess what? Wow, you'll do great things. So give yourself to God and yield. That's the key about spiritual gifts. Let's stand. We dismiss in a word of prayer. I owe you 15 more minutes. We're up to, Lord knows how much time now. 600 hours, he said. 600 hours. Hey, look, invite somebody to come to church on Sunday, and if you're going to go to the Valentine banquet, you have not already signed up, please do so. We know how many to expect. You'll be paying them right off the menu, so whatever the menu says and whatever you order, that's what you're going to pay for, and we'll have a great night in just a little while here. Thanks for being here tonight. Father, bless our friends. Help us to yield ourselves to you. Thank you for the talents you gave us at birth. Thank you for the gifts you gave us when we were born again. Thank you for the abilities you've given us to develop. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to yield ourselves in such a way that the body of Christ might benefit and your will may be accomplished through us and through your church. Keep us safe now as we go our separate ways. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.
Some for sin, what will you do for him? He's my Lord, there is no storms of life like my Lord. He'll give rest to the weary, give new life to the hopeless. There's no
soldiers fighting Satan every day. We're standing up for Jesus while we're kneeling down to pray. If his precious blood has cleansed you and washed away your sin, that makes you a member of the blood-washed band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin till one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood-washed land. God's children are advancing, marching till we reach the goal. For the battle's almost over, we'll soon be going home. I can hear the sound of angels as the saints go marching in, singing praises to the captain of the blood-washed band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin till one day the Master came and made